Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another night in the Red Room. This is your host, Shelly L, with my co-host, Ashley G, LaToya Carter Q, and hopefully Samaj, if in his busy life he can join us tonight. Thank you for joining us on our show tonight. Breaking up is hard to do. Now, in the Red Room, we're known to randomly break out in a song or have a song that comes to mind when we talk about topics in any of our conversations. So, this song that I'm going to play for you came to mind, and I'm going to give you a couple minutes to get your conversations ready while listening to a way back throwback. And I noticed when it's showing my age, not quite, but something that I heard, somebody told me that the song was relevant. But it's a time for you to get comfortable, relax, go grab your favorite drink, and get ready to enjoy another night with us. So I'm going to play this song real quick, give you a chance to join us and get comfortable, and then we're going to come back for some conversation about how breaking up is hard to do.
Do-do-do-down, do-be-do-down.
Okay, so I'm just waiting for someone to skate past me with a burger and fries and a milkshake after that song.
I'm like driving home because I'm just getting off, and I'm like doing these little old school dances where you just kind of like move your arm out and kind of jerk in.
Okay, so do you girls want to have a
sock hop? You take it way back.
Should we have a social distance sock hop?
I was doing the same thing. We are doing the jerk.
I'm gonna need me a poodle skirt.
Oh no, not a poodle skirt.
And a press with a flip at the end.
Oh.
And those black and white shoes with the body socks.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. But you know what?
The thing of it is, that song, as old as it is, and I just heard this voice in my head of this song, and I ain't listened to this when I was a kid. It was something that I heard somebody play, but it just kind of took me back to that place of breaking up really is hard to do. So it's like, why not just do what you need to do so you don't have to go through a breakup. Like you said, you know, can't we just break up? Instead of breaking up, can't we just make up? So tonight's topic, that song, as crazy as it was, I think it kind of segues into, you know, just us understanding what a breakup is and not just focusing on the breakup, but how we can avoid it if necessary. But if it has to happen, then it has to happen. So I broke this topic down into four different segments, four different areas of our lives where we experience breakups. And number one was intimate, which is a partner, marriage, relationship kind of place where you're looking forward to something, but it's just not working out. Then there's family, friends, and then professional. So those are like the four key areas in our life that I think, you know, I kind of looked at to see where breakups could be something that could be hard to do. And all four can bring you happiness and love. You know, love for your partner, love for your family, love for your friends, love for your job and your coworkers or your professional acquaintances. But they can also bring you to a dark side of love, and which is pretty much pain. And sometimes it results in heartbreak. And any breakup is a battle of emotions. Like it could be good versus evil, happiness versus pain, survivor versus victim. And it's a battle. And some that are just simply making a choice that's best for your life. It's always easier, I think, to see situations from the outside looking in. But when it comes to our own lives, it's not always so clear. So we have to, you know, make those choices that are best for ourselves. And breaking up is just, it's something that's hard to do. So I'm going to start with number four first, because I'm not going to start with number one for several reasons. But I think number four, which can be less painful yet still hard to do. And number four is the professional breakup. That's the work and professional relationships and acquaintances that you have, you know, built over time. And the key to the professional relationships is we have to realize that in our lives we spend 8,760 hours in a year in a professional relationship. If you work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, those 8,760 hours that you spend approximately make up 1/3 of the time in your life spent in your professional or business relationships. That's huge, 1/3 of your life. And we make the choice in our professional relationships, just like we do in our intimate and family and friend relationships. But sometimes that choice results in the unhappiness, the regret in the choice, and eventually the need to break up. Whether it's disassociating yourself with a coworker or the entire job or business relationship in itself. Breaking up with one job to find happiness in another job or career, it happens. Now, some may think, how could that be considered a breakup? I mean, really, Shelly, is that's a breakup? That's just changing jobs. But it's not. And I really think that it's hard to do because there is a place that you can experience a professional breakup. So I want to start with that, and I want to talk about, let's just talk about professional breakups. Have you experienced any? How did it affect you? And, you know, what process did you go through to make that decision for a professional breakup?
So, it's funny that we're having this conversation, or I will say ironic, rather. I had to end a professional relationship today. And as a business owner,
today?
Today, I had to end a relationship with a client for the past few years or so. I've built a really good bond with this client. I've gained their trust. This client, just trust, number one, you know, is the one thing that I feel bad for ending the relationship, because I know that that's going to be difficult to find, or the process to find
trust in another cleaning service is going to be difficult, but I had to end that relationship. And I've had to do that with several clients as well as employees. You know, I've had people that worked for me that were just absolutely amazing off the clock. And that was really, really tough having to kind of, you know, place that barrier in between business, and I've built another type of relationship with you, and now it's time to end the business relationship, but I don't want to end the other relationship. So that is where it does get tricky. And I will say that I have been successful in kind of slowly ending the business relationship with someone and still being able to keep a personal relationship with them. And that the breakup didn't hinder the personal side of it.
Yeah, that sometimes gets a little tricky when you have
the professional relationship that kind of crosses over into a friendship, because a lot of times we build friendships from professional relationships. These are the people that we spend a third of our lives with, and they sometimes, there are a few people that you pick and choose and say, I connect with this person, or for whatever reason, I'm going to have an outside the work environment engagement with to see how I connect with that person. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think for me, the biggest professional breakup I had was with a group of people that I associated with in a professional environment, coworkers. And coworkers get together after work for happy hours or, you know, potlucks or whatever. And then there's this one person that just does not seem to be on the same accord. And if that person is there, you have to excuse yourself and say, I can't make it, or I won't make it, because something has happened and that person has rubbed you the wrong way one time too many, and you just decide to disassociate yourself. So there was a time when I had to do that. I lost the connection with some people because the only time that we had the opportunity to connect were at these types of events. But it was, to me, I had to make that choice in order to not put myself in a position to be around somebody that I just felt like it was like, because you're going to make me be somebody I'm not, and I will not let you take me there. And I think we can all know we can go there. The only other side of it was leaving a job that I built friendships and relationships with. And this was almost 5.5 years ago, probably. And I left people that I knew I wouldn't see anymore, but I had to move forward to make a career change. And it was a breakup that really, it hurt me. Because I knew there were people that I loved and I cared about, and I knew they loved and cared about me too, but I knew moving forward in my career, I was probably not going to see them anymore. But it was a choice that I had to make for my own personal growth. And those that I found out truly I was connected with, I've still stayed connected with. So initially, a lot of times in professional breakups, you think that leaving one job, you're leaving the people that you have created relationships with behind, but if they're truly, truly good people that you connect with, you'll still stay connected to them. So I want to start by anyone that's new that's listening, thank you for all of the callers that are in the Red Room with us tonight. If you would like to speak, have anything that you want to share, please press 1 on your phone, and we will unmute your line. We do a show where we have live callers that share what they feel, they think, they want to share with from an undiluted perspective. There are no holes barred here. We want to hear what you have to say, whether we agree or disagree. But this is a platform for you to be able to speak your piece and your mind. So if there's anybody that wants to add anything to the professional breakup, any bad experiences? I do have a couple of questions I want to ask you, Ashley, about the client. What made you break up with this client? That's all I want to know, because this client was bringing you in money. What made you break up?
You know what?
I'm just saying, when you turned down some money for a breakup, I need to ask some more questions.
Let me tell you. See, this is why I love the Red Room, because I have no other place to really let loose on this topic. You know it's bad when you turn the coin down, because you just simply cannot deal with somebody. So the first instance that I had to really cut this person off. Reason being, they were just using me. Absolutely. Actually, both instances. I had three situations where I had to end a business relationship. I mean, literally say, your money is not worth the disrespect that you're giving to me from me providing an extended amount of services to you just from the goodness of my heart. And I will tell you that this mistake, business owners, if you are listening, and I'm sure there is somebody listening that owns a business and that, you know, just got your heart and your passion all up into it. But we sometimes forget that we are running a business and we are not doing favors.
Mm. Say that one more time, please.
Yeah, because that felt good for me to just remind myself. We are in business. We are not in the business of giving favors to people. So I'm talking about ending relationships. I've ended relationships with employees. This is someone that I'm actually giving to. But this is someone who is financially giving to my business. And I've had to cut them off because they simply did not value me. They did not value, like I said, the extended amount of services that we were providing, that my company was providing. So the money, honestly, was not the hard part. That really wasn't. It was the passion for providing the services for this client that really made it difficult for me to end this, because I knew that this client finding another company that will provide this type of service for the budget that you had, oh, buddy, you would nowhere, there's nowhere within the galaxy, Earth, Mars, Saturn, or Venus, that you would have found someone as kind-hearted as myself. So,
okay.
Yeah, thank you very much for asking, because that felt really good to just kind of say that one more time. Business owners, we are not in business to do favors. We are in business to make money and run a business.
That's interesting. I'm glad I asked that question, because I really needed to know. And a lot of times when we end professional relationships, like when you go from one job to the next, most people think, oh, they got more money. Not necessarily. It's because I needed to do something different. I needed more respect. I needed more motivation. I needed an opportunity for more growth. It wasn't necessarily the money. It was an opportunity for growth. So any professional relationships, that breakup does not necessarily mean that it's all about the money, but it's got to be about something that you find that satisfies you and brings you happiness. Like I said in the beginning, all of these relationships can give you that war. You can experience that war, but you got to find out what it is that you need to do to make sure that at the end of it all, you are experiencing happiness. Toya, do you have any professional breakups that you want to share with us?
Not really. I've been at my job for ever now. Well, the one before that, it became very toxic, so I did have to break up because the work environment was toxic, and I was working with a very toxic individual,
okay.
And it wasn't worth the peace of mind. But from a different perspective, my mom just recently retired. she absolutely loved her job, but medically she was unable to continue. So that was a very hard decision for her to make, to break up with her position. But she wanted to still go out on her own terms while she was able to, you know, make that decision and not have it forced upon her. But it was kind of forced upon her by the doctors. But
But that was still a hard breakup for her because,
it
you
was.
Know, when you...
It still is.
When you
because
don't
today
want
was
to
the first day. Yeah, today was the first day of school. So I think reality kind of hit home today because this is the first time that she hasn't been able, that she hasn't had a back to school in, you know, 27 years.
Honey.
Wow.
I'm gonna tell you now.
First of all, before she tell her story, let me give a shout out. Okay, I noticed this little sidebar from the show tonight. I just when you hear Ashley's story, I'm gonna give a shout out to the teachers in September 2020 for being able to have the patience, the resilience, I don't even know what the words I can use for this, for what they are having to conform to, which is completely unknown to them.
The love.
Yes. I mean, and to you, Toya, because you are one of those teachers, but just the teachers that have had to try to figure out how to do a job that they love, because teachers, I don't know anybody that chooses to be a teacher unless they love children and they love teaching and the experience of the love that they give to their students and seeing the learning from it. Not everybody can be a teacher. So I'm just saying, shout out to all the teachers.
With that job, there have been record numbers of teachers retiring or just leaving the profession with this whole new virtual learning experience. And it's hard because we're overworked, undervalued, underpaid. And it's like it used to be a noble profession. And now it seems like it's a glorified babysitter. And the amount of work that teachers are having to do right now is astronomical. And a lot of parents just think, oh, well, we're teaching the kids because they're home with us. No.
Right. So, Ashley, share with us the experience. It's a whole new experience from a parent perspective. Ashley, share with us what you experienced today. I wish y'all could see her.
Oh, my goodness. I wish somebody could see me with my hand on my little eyebrow over here. First and foremost, let me just say this. To any parent out there listening that is complaining about your child being home with you during this time, you need to mute yourself and do not press 1. This is not the time for you to speak. These teachers are under extreme pressure. My son goes to school in Arlington County, Virginia, and today was the first day of virtual learning. Now, they ended out the school year last year giving assignments for the parents to do at home. They did have an online software for the kids to independently work by themselves. You can work with them, of course. You cannot allow these kids on the tablet by themselves, so you have no choice but to engage in their learning. Today was a test of everyone's skills, patience. I'm almost speechless because it was literally heartbreaking to watch these teachers scramble to come up with a backup plan because plan A did not work on the first day. And I could almost see it and hear it and feel the fear, teachers, of, oh my gosh, I do not know how this is going to work out this year. There were internet connections. First and foremost, Arlington County, and I'm not bashing them whatsoever. There was a technical error today. The iPads that they issued to the students were not working. Some of the teachers had bad internet connections, were using Microsoft Teams. Some of the kids could not get into the actual the classroom team, so they were sitting in the lobby, and the teacher is sitting there trying to instruct the students that are there while pushing the other kids to get into the classroom. So she's teaching, and there are five students in front of her and probably another 10 that she's trying to pull into, and then they're having problems with their internet connections, their iPads. One of the students today, there are four people in one household, two students and two parents, that are burning their Wi-Fi completely up. They have the highest speed internet that they could pay for, and it's still not working. So today, like I said, I could hear the fear in my son's teacher's voice, and I also was able to experience something today, and I'll talk about that in just a second, but I could hear the fear in her voice of, oh my God, this is crashing down. What are we going to do? Because we cannot rely on the internet to teach these children. This is not a reliable means of, this is just not a reliable source to teach, to really engage in educating these children. And I can, and I hear it, and I know that these teachers know it. So it was very humbling today, not only to be home with my child and see that everything that that little lady marks on that behavior sheet was absolutely correct. Because no, he don't sit down. Yes, he do talk while he eating his lunch. He got to go to the bathroom 3,000 times. He don't complete a task independently. So, yes, today was very enlightening. It surely was. I was glad he was home with me because I told him, honey, your teacher does not have authority to pop your little behind. So 2021 school year is going to be just a little bit different because you're home with mommy. But on another note, and we'll go ahead and keep moving forward, but on another note, I will say this. Do take this time, parents that are at home and their kids are learning right next to you, listen to how their teacher is communicating with them. This is a time right now, and I realize this today, this is the most amazing time for me to be involved in my child's education. I am sitting right next to him to guide him and to push him to do things that the teacher is not going to. The teacher and the parent is now educating the child. We can look, and I had to really kind of pull myself up today. I could look at this from one end of the perspective and say, my God, this school year is going to crash. The kids aren't going to learn anything. The internet isn't working. The teachers are probably going to get frustrated and quit. Or I could look at the situation and say, okay, mommy is at home on one side and the teacher is on the other side. Now let's make this work. So we're going to close out with the topic that we kind of veered off on.
I know, but I still had to take a moment to thank the teachers because there are thousands of teachers out there that today was the first day of an unknown day for them. So I know this was teacher appreciation. It wasn't supposed to be teacher appreciation moment on the show tonight, but we keep it real and we give love where we know. I'm just asking those teachers that are out there, please don't break up with these kids.
Oh gosh.
Don't break up with break up with the parents. Because the parents are struggling.
I will say this, just to encourage those who today was their first day. Our students started math on August 17th. It gets easier. Then now, and we have it down. Yes, there are technical difficulties. Yes, there are glitches. But it gets easier. The first couple weeks, craziness. Because everybody's getting into that new routine and getting, it's new. and we get so complacent and in our comfort zones. And, you know, so just grant each other grace.
Exactly. And just support the process. You just got to support the process.
Yeah.
It's all new and different for everyone. So, again, please, teachers, don't break up with the kids. Don't break up with the parents. And in that professional place. So I want to keep it moving because we're halfway through the hour show that we say we're going to do, and we're only on number one. Only on number four. So number three, we always do this. Number three is the friendships, the friendship breakups. And I think this, to me, number three is on the friends list, on the list of the breakups, but I think this is probably one of the easiest ones to discuss because I think we have all had a friendship that we had to break up with, whether it's because, you've outgrown a friend that can't embrace your growth and appreciate your growth, or a friend that has deceived you in your friendship that's beyond repair, or changes that you've made in your life that no longer agree with the morals and the values that you now have in your life. So I just want to quickly, because I want to keep the show moving, let's just talk about friendship breakups because they are real. They still impact your life. It's that good versus evil, the happiness versus pain. And it's a place where you've built a relationship with someone that you now have to break up with. So, Ashley, let's start with you. Have you ever had a friendship?
You know, you keep pressing on the most recent button in my life. What? And I will honestly have to say I'm so glad that you asked this question because, yes, I have recently had to break up with a girlfriend of mine, and I'm going to tell y'all why. She is too single for me.
Ooh.
She a little bit too single for me, and I'm just not in that place in my life. I don't have any apologies. I'm sorry, but you out here dating 10, 20 men, and I'm just in a place in my life where I'm ready to settle down with who I'm with. I'm happy. I'm whole. I don't need to do all of that. I don't need to go in the restaurant with my body hanging out. We don't relate. So I have recently cut off a friendship because we just don't relate anymore. And it is absolutely okay. And I think it is the most ladylike thing you can do to tell especially a girlfriend. It's very, very ladylike to tell them, listen, we are just not in the same place in life anymore. And that's okay. And I wish you the best. Now, if she's your real friend, when she get her life together, she'll come back and hang out with you, girl. And that's what I had to tell myself. So that's my story of having to cut off a friendship.
Wow.
And there are many more, but that's the most recent.
She's too single for me.
She's too single for me.
That's the first time I've ever heard anybody say that.
I'm like, I got one good story. You know, we get together, we chit-chat, and I have one good story, and she got like 15. I'm like, girl, I just can't keep up, you know. We're just not in correlation anymore in our conversations. And I'm jokingly saying this, but honestly, sometimes you have to assess in your friendships, what is this person doing that I'm allowing into my life? How are they aligning with what my goals are and where I'm headed in life? And if they're not aligned, then you honestly and truly need to end that friendship because it's going to hinder you.
That's an interesting breakup.
Very, very interesting breakup. So I want to go to the callers. If anyone has anything that they want to share, please press one on your phone. We do have a caller that wants to share, and the way we announce you as a caller is by your area code and the last four numbers of the number you're calling from. Area code 918, last four numbers, 6901. Welcome to the Red Room. Please let us know what it is that you'd like to share with us tonight.
How y'all doing?
We are great. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street.
Okay. Welcome to Oklahoma, Black Wall Street.
The grandson and the great grandson of a survivor. Of one of the survivors.
All right.
Talking about friendships, I had a friend of 41 years. I'm 53. We were friends for 41 years. We were children. Played in 6 state championships in football together and won every last one of them. School went to the same college and all that kind of stuff. And we both unfortunately have in common that both our wives have since transitioned. Here's a little bit longer ago than mine. Mine's just recently, 2 years ago. Here's in 2011. So we have all this history, right? And we were business partners. And we got into it. Now, here's the thing. We got into an argument. See, this is different between men and women. Men kill each other. That's why it's really important. I'm real big on respect for other men, women too, but it's different because when men get into it, a potential killing can take place because we go from zero to 10 way quicker than y'all do when it comes to disrespect.
Come on. Speak to us now.
Because as men, all we have is our manhood, especially black men. So I'm big on respect in the space of other men. And so what he did was he got into an argument about a $150 chainsaw. Here's the crazy part. He started saying, you know how sometimes you get into an argument, but stuff will start coming out that ain't got nothing to do with what you're arguing about?
Mm-hmm.
But you let that be the reason? And so that's what happened. He started saying stuff, you know. I mean, the stuff that he said, I could not believe. I've been knowing this man since this man ate at my table, I ate at his table. We spent the night over each other's house. We didn't took, you know, what I'm saying, just a whole lifetime of friendship. Mm-hmm. But when he started talking about my mother, I knew then. Oh yeah, and see, I was at work, so he comes by my house. Now I'm an old school gangster. I used to be a gangster in the street, so he dealing with a different element than I. You know, he dealing with a whole different element. I'm no longer that guy, but that guy still exists. He's still in there. He's just laying dormant. But you can call him up, though, if you want to. But here's what happened, though. I'm at work, and he comes past my house and takes a picture. I'm by your house. I said, of course you at my house. I'm not there because you a coward. And so we go there, and this is what I told him. I said, you know what, man? This is what I'm going to do. Then he said, I owed him some money. He said, you owe me $400 this? I said, I tell you what, this is what I'm going to do. Whatever it is you say I owe you, whether it be equipment, money, I said, tally it up, and I'll meet you and give it to you and have a nice life. He didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I decided, I knew that if I didn't do that, I would have killed him. Further disrespect. But I've been through too much. I got too much going. My life is going good. I'm going to get married again eventually. I said, I'm not supposed to throw away. And then I realized that 41 years, I've been his friend. He ain't ever really been mine.
See, now you're talking about something, because we're talking about the reciprocity.
Now, that's not to say he didn't give back and forth during the course of the relationship, because he did. But it's just when he went there, I would have never, see, I know his mother like he knows mine. I would have never, no matter how bad. And I said, man, how is it, me and you two grown men, what does my mother, that you used to call mama, got to do with this? So I accepted all the other stuff that he said, because he was a Malvi anyway. So all the other stuff he said about me didn't bother me. But when you start talking about mama, that's a whole different realm of reality. Then I knew he really meant it then.
So let me ask you, how did the breakup end? Are you no longer connected? Are you no longer connected? Did you completely cut him off? How did your decision?
Let me tell you what happened. He's dying now, and I am the only one who went to visit him because I'm that kind of man. And this is what my mama said to me. My mother, I love my mother. She said, son, I know he said a lot of stuff, but you ain't never been like that. He's sick. He ain't really got nobody else going to look after him, not really. And you the only real friend he's ever really had. Go see that man.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
That is.
I took him some water the other day because he can barely move around and stuff. I took him a big old case of water because he called me. And, you know, it was hard, but I'm going to follow my mama's instructions, and my mother has never misguided me.
Because your mother follows the Lord.
I still need her guidance. Huh?
Mm-hmm. I said, because your mother follows the Lord. She taught you absolutely right. You do not turn your back on people that need you, no matter what they have said, no matter what they have done to you. You're doing absolutely right. So kudos to you for still continuing to be there for him, even in the midst of all that he said to you, and it may have hurt you, because it really does sound like that hurt you. And that would have hurt me too. That was a long time of friendship. You said 40,
yeah,
how many years?
41 years.
Wow.
We're 53. We're 53 now. So you're talking about since the early 70s, mid 70s.
Wow.
Well, I just want to say
to you, caller, thank you so much for sharing that. That is one of those stories that teaches people, that helps people understand that you can build a friendship with people, but when you find that place where they are no longer aligned with you, you have to cut them off. It doesn't mean that you can't still be in that godly place that you are in your heart, in your spirit, but it does not necessarily mean that you have to have them in your life, every single day to be your friend.
Yeah, we're not going to never, you know, I'm going to do what my mama asked me to do. And I don't want to see him die because he lost his wife. I helped lower his wife into the ground.
Wow. Mm.
See what I'm saying? That's we talking about. I literally was one of the men who helped, because we Muslims. So we have a different way we bury our dead. I'm one of the men, they have six men that lower the dead into the ground. I was one of those men at his wife's funeral that lowered her into the ground. That's how close we work. Yeah, that's why it hurts so bad. Yeah, but it's not gonna never be like it was. But I'm gonna still be civil. And you know, I don't know if he's gonna live or not. We don't know. But I'm not gonna. You know, I'm gonna do what my mama said. Do what he asked. Be his friend the best you can. But you ain't gotta be like that. You ain't gotta be like he was, because you're not like that. And I'm not like that.
Turn your back on your brother.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you, caller, for sharing that story. It is one that I know that anyone that listens to this show tonight will relate to, be touched by, and hopefully you have given them some encouragement on how to move forward in their lives with a friend that has treated them the way that your friend treated you. I thank you for sharing with us, because, you know,
thank you for allowing me to.
You're welcome. And I think this is the only way that we learn to get through things and buy things, is sharing in an open forum like this. So thank you. Please share your comments every Tuesday night when we're in the Red Room. We would love to have you back again. And thank you for joining us. I do want to keep moving forward. You're welcome. I do want to keep moving forward. Toya, do you have a friendship story that you want to share real quick? Because we are this is taking a little bit longer than I thought. So do you have a friendship story real quick that you want to share?
A lot of my friendships have just changed because as you grow and elevate and change your mindset, we all go through different seasons in life. So as you go through different seasons, like Ashley said, your values, your belief systems, they change. And I've always heard the saying that elevation requires separation. So a lot of times, in order for you to elevate yourself, you have to separate from those who don't share that mindset or the commonalities that you once did. And I also just wanted to comment on what Ashley said about her friend was too single for her. Oftentimes, there's that old adage too, the birds of a feather flock together. So you have to be very mindful about who you consider your friend and who you hang out around, because people will judge you by your acquaintances. I also
And I don't want to sprinkle none of that single juice, that player juice on me.
I'm trying to stay with my man. I don't want none of that. Mm-mm, girl, keep that player juice right on over there. I turned my player card in.
And also, too, you know, just because someone, you know, is a friend now, there are different, like, circles of influence or you know, circles of friendship. And if you don't have the things in common or, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you feel like you have to end the friendship, you could just shift them outside of that circle if, you know, like the caller was saying, if you have longevity in a friendship or if you may not be as close as you once were, you may not have to fully tether the relationship, but, you know, just change it. So just
instead of completely cutting her off, I'm actually going to keep her as a business associate. So, it, you know, to those that are listening, I'm just giving my little secret. I don't want to tell her, hey, girl, I can't hang with you no more because you just, you be on your hot girl Megan Thee Stallion stuff and I'm not with it. So I'll support her in business. What benefits her the best and continue to pray for her and just keep her as a business associate and support her. But that does not mean that we need to sit down at the table and talk and vibe and share energies and stuff. Because like I said, honey, I don't want that pimp juice dripping off on me.
Not the pimp juice. Oh, Lord, that just brought back a song. She only want me for my pimp juice. I'm not going to go there because we're not going to sing. But as the caller said, I think that was a very valuable lesson that we have to take away from this is you don't have to have the daily friendship connection. But if you have any place in you that is a God-loving spiritual person, you will always help those in need. So you can cut off the friendship but still put that person in a place of helping them in need. So I want to move on because we do have a scarlet envelope tonight, which I picked because it was relevant to the show because we have so many of them. I have to kind of go through them and figure out which one to bring on the show that's relevant to our topic. Sometimes it won't be, but this one tonight definitely is. So I want to move forward to the next one, which is number two on the list because we went through number four, which is professional, number three, which is friends, and number two on the list is family. Okay? Family breakups, this one's a tough one. You know, as the song said in the beginning where y'all laughed at me because I went through a way back, breaking up is hard to do, especially when the person that you're kicking to the curb isn't a love interest or a family or a friend, but a family member. You know, growing up, we used to hear all the time, blood is thicker than water. And when all else fails, you'll always have your family, which instills a message that family ties aren't supposed to be broken. You're never supposed to break up with a family member. But still, sometimes saying goodbye is best for you. It could create a stressful relationship with relatives. And when you have that kind of relationship, it can do so many things to you because you're tied together and binded together with a bond that's expected. But it can create, you know, a situation where it lowers your self-esteem. It could cause you depression and anxiety depending on how that family member treats you. So ditching that toxic family member can be good for you, for your mental health as well as your emotional health. And deciding if a relationship is worth keeping or not can be tough. But I want to give you some signs to just give you a heads up if you're wondering and thinking if cutting off that family member is what you should do. These are just a couple of signs. If they're abusive, any physical or verbal or emotional abuse is reason to terminate that family relationship. And don't worry about any positive fallout from other people in the family because your safety and your well-being is what's most important, especially the emotional part of it. physical part, sometimes that happens, but a lot of times in family relationships, it's the emotional abuse. We're not going to just water down the emotional part, but that's for another show. If it's affecting other areas of your life, if the situation like has you so stressed or so angry, and it's having a negative effect on negative effects on other parts of your life, by this person that's in your family can create other issues, and it still could be time to walk away. If your interactions with that family member are always mostly negative, that's a sign. Now, all family relationships have their ups and downs. I don't know anybody that says, oh, I always, you know, have a great time with this person. You can, but there's some people that you don't. It could be somewhere, a situation where your sister criticizes you or your cousin picks on you or somebody starts an argument, and every time you're in each other's presence, something happens. If that's the case, it's time to check out. Another sign is if the relationship is one-sided, and that's those family members that they only need you or they only reach out to you when they want something. There is no give and take. It's always take. Like if you have a family member that always calls you when they need money, they call to check on you. Hey, I'm just checking on you to see how you're doing. And they let you go through your, oh, I'm great, da-da-da-da. It's like, yeah, well, I'm not doing so great. You know, I'm just going through a situation right now, and I'm needing, you know, this and I'm needing that. And then if you say, well, you know, I really wish I could help you right now, and then they give you the guilt trip as to why you can't help them, that's a toxic relationship. And also, if you have a family member that your relationship with them is affecting your immediate family, and this really fits into the marriage cycle. If you are married and you have that family member that comes into your life and always creates some kind of turmoil, and that spills over into your marriage and in your relationship, you got to take a look at that. And it's one that is hard to do, but you have to realize that it's normal to feel anger and guilt and resentment and loneliness when you break up with these family members. But if it's creating unhappiness and confusion and disagreement in your own place of peace, it's time to say, we got to break up. Because, you know, everybody wants to be loved, and they want to be appreciated. And if they can't give you that, then you got to take a look at the relationship that you have with them. One thing that does happen with breaking up with a family member is you're sort of mourning the loss of someone. And that's someone that you felt loved by or wanted to feel loved by. And it can be tough, but remember, love desires and deserves reciprocity, even with a family member. And if that does not happen, it's time for a breakup. So now I'm just going to open it up, and let's just talk about, have you had a breakup with a family member? This one ain't easy, because this is spilling your real tea. Anybody want to start? Because I'm going to save mine for last.
Well, once again, something that has occurred recently in my life.
I'm just trying to figure out how the Red Room is bringing all the recent into your life.
I mean, a lot has been going on. I just turned 30 on the 26th of August, so I had to make some life changes, and it started with ending relationships.
Hey. You know, you got a lot of relationship stuff going on.
I am trying to get it right, okay? I do not have time for bad baggage, and I've got to dispose of it. This is something that we talked about, really briefly last week or week before last, just kind of, you know, getting rid of that bad. This was last week when we talked about our goals. This was something that I actually realized that I needed to touch back on as part of my goals of closing out the end of the year. Bad relationships have to go. Family, I know you love them. you know, family, they are who they are. You're going to love them regardless, right? But when it comes to invading your life, family should not have that access. I have been hurting since I was 9 years old. I just turned 30 last month. You do the math. I have still been carrying around emotional baggage from a 9-year-old little girl, from her daddy not picking her up on a weekend that he said he was going to show up and not answering the phone. And I will tell you, since I was 9 years old, up until the point where I was able to date, up until last month on the 26th of August, I have been carrying around that baggage, that hurt, that emotional trauma, that second chance. Honey, let me tell you, I broke up so bad with my dad. I broke up with my own father. I'm sorry, Dad. You are blocked. You can't call me. You will not call me again and tell me another. I'm not going to even, not even going to say lie, but I really had to close the door to the relationship with my father, because I have given him chance after chance after chance since I was 9 years old. He has not shown up. He has not shown out. I'm not going to continue to allow you to come into my life just because you are my father and emotionally wreck everything that I have going for myself because you tell me one promise. Oh, I'm going to make it to come see you. Honey, in the past 10 years, I could count on 2 fingers how many times I've seen that man. So with that being said, you know, people that are listening, just because that person is your family member, it could be your own mother. Yes, you love her. But if she is causing you emotional damage and trauma every time she walks through your door, you need to close it. And it was very hard for me to do, to close the door to my father, somebody that I, this is the one man I say, oh my gosh, I love you. I don't care how many times you've hurt my feelings. You the one man that I confess and say, you done me so mad, man. You done me dirty, stood me up thousands of times, and I still love you. But I had to close that door because it was not healthy. And it was affecting my other relationships and my growth. You know, so just closing that door has been really helpful to me. And I don't feel guilty at all for for even blocking my own father. No, you cannot communicate with me anymore because you don't value having access to me. So that is my situation of having to cut off a family member. Besides that, I love my family. I wouldn't have to cut off my family because they know how to behave. They food good at all the cookouts and stuff, so I ain't cutting off none of my other family members. That's it. Because if not, I'm going to be short on Thanksgiving this year. So, Toya, I'm going to turn it on over to you. Have you had to cut off any family members or break up with any family members?
Huh.
And that's a tough one.
Not really. I mean, I've always been super family oriented, and if I fooled with you, if I had a relationship with you, I haven't ever had to terminate it. Not as far as, you know, family. Like, I'm really truly trying to think.
Right. And you know, and
yeah,
for people that are listening, you know, I know your family, so your family are good people. So if you got on here and said you cut off any of your family, told you, I was going to be like, But, you know, the people that are listening, somebody out there can relate. You sometimes have that one family member where you're like, you know what, I love you, fam, but I really have to distance myself from you. Because either A, every time you come around, you just need something, or B, you just negative as I don't know what, or C, it's all about you and you really and truly don't care about the family environment and you're just a user and a taker. And you have to be okay with saying at a certain point in life, these people do not value you. It is okay to break off that relationship. If you even have a sister that just hurts your feelings because she does not listen to you or she just, every time you have a conversation, it's something negative. It's okay to cut your own sister off. So don't feel guilty for having to cut off a family member. This conversation, I really feel, is truly about growth and being able to accept the future for your life, your happiness, your peace.
And that is true. I'm going to share something that I have not shared publicly. A lot of friends don't know, but what I've always said in the Red Room is that if we can't expose our own truth, I can't expect you to expose yours. And exposing the truth is to help us heal, to help us move forward, to come together and understand a place of we are not alone, but we need to talk about it. I broke up with a family member that had been by my side through during one of the toughest times I've ever had to experience in my life, was there for me, helped me. And then when one of my children made a decision that they didn't find was what they felt was acceptable for them, they cut me off and cut my child off. So first, one thing you cannot do in my life is disrespect my kids. You come for my kids, and I turn into a panther. I guard my children because I have raised them with the loving spirit of helping people. Don't judge anyone. Try to understand people. Don't judge them. But this family member judged one of my children and turned their back on my child. And at that point, I just basically had to say, you know what? I'm going to sit in silence, because if I don't, I'm going to approach you with anger. And the God in me won't let me do that. So it has been over 6 years since I have spoken to someone that I loved with all my heart, but because you came and disrespected my child and could not give me any explanation, no conversation as to why you decided to treat my child the way that you did, I had to cut you off. And one of the things I talked about, when you cut off a family member, it's almost as if you're mourning them. And I have mourned the loss of this family member. But for the benefit of my family, how can I have a relationship with you when you've turned your back on my child? Because in family, a relationship with one person is a relationship with us all, but at least we should have been able to talk about it. So I don't want to go into too many more details, but yes, there are times when you have to cut off a family member. And it's not easy, but sometimes it's what you have to do. So I just want
to. I just keep thinking of that scene in Soul Food where she catches the cousin doing it to her husband. And she's just like, I let the family in my house and the family slept with my husband. She was a little more graphic, but I mean, that happens in real life.
Yeah,
I feel actually.
Quarter would have been pulling about. I'm sorry.
That I haven't had to cut family off.
Sure.
It's just one where you have to know what's best for you. So, if there's anyone that wants to add anything to the topics that we have discussed so far, which have been the professional breakups, the friend breakups, and the family breakups. We have one more. But because of time, I've made a decision that we're going to make this a part two. We need to get to the Scarlet Envelope. So I'm going to go, we're going to read that and have that discussion. And next week, we're going to have a part two where we are going to discuss the intimate breakups, because that takes us to a whole different level. The why, the when, the how, on so many different levels. And this is not just, it definitely needs to be a separate topic. I don't even know why I thought that we could add this one into it and make it all one show. Because you have relationships where there's a breakup, intimate relationships where there's a breakup and people have been together for 6 months, 1 year, married for 15 years. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a big difference between a breakup in a 6 month and a breakup in a marriage. That whole part right there has so many different elements that we need to discuss. And I think if we could just break that down, we can help people through the process. Or maybe help somebody not have a breakup in their marriage. So we're going to save that for next week's show, and we're going to move on to the Scarlet Envelope. Anything else to add before we get to the Scarlet Envelope, Ashley?
Nothing at all, dear.
Okay.
We have touched all topics tonight. So next week, I'm excited about next week.
Yeah, because the intimate breakups. Ooh, we didn't have anybody that's past 18 has had at least one. So let's move on to the Scarlet Envelope. And it reads, Dear Red Room, my brother and my sister-in-law have been married for 20 years with a 17-year-old daughter and have had what I've always seen as a great friendship, marriage, and loving parents. I'm the younger of us siblings. Let me get my glasses so I can really read this. Okay, I'm in it now. I'm the younger of us as siblings, and he's always been the big brother in my life with advice, support, and always being there for me when I needed him. I have a great relationship with my sister-in-law, who is an only child, so we both feel that we have a sister that we never had growing up. I love my brother. I love my sister by marriage and my niece. My niece has been a true joy in my life. My relationship with my brother took a devastating turn that I'm struggling to deal with. My niece is pregnant. She graduated from high school and has been accepted to an HBCU that she wanted to attend with the support of her parents with a full academic scholarship. She told her parents, and her mom was silent, and her dad was angrier than she's ever seen him before in her life, her words. Long story short, my brother told her how disappointed he was with her and that this would be the last time he would fix her adult mistakes, and he gave her an ultimatum. If she didn't have an abortion, she couldn't live in his house. My sister-in-law called me crying about the situation, and I did everything I could to comfort her. The next day, my brother calls me, upset to tell me what happened and that my niece left the night before, probably with the boy she was pregnant by. I couldn't tell him that I had talked to her mom or that she was at my house and that I knew what happened. I wanted to give him a day or two to calm down before I told him. Over a week went by and he didn't ask if I had talked to or seen her, and I didn't say anything. He just said that she didn't come back home. She couldn't come back home, I'm sorry, if she hadn't had an abortion. He shuts down any reasoning. Only that he didn't raise her to throw her life away by having a baby at 17. My sister-in-law can't disagree with him because he has put his foot down as the man of the house, but she's heartbroken. My niece tried calling him and left messages for him to call back, but he doesn't respond. I love my niece, but I'm not prepared to take care of her and the baby. I'm lost because I'm deceiving my brother while trying to comfort and protect my niece. Our parents are deceased, so there's no one in the family that's an authority figure that he would even listen to. Time is starting to run out before there's no other decision that can be made. I'm caught in a web of family lies that I'm afraid will result in me losing someone. I can't tell any of my friends because I really want to keep this as confidential as possible. So I've anonymously posted my situation in a few social media groups as it's someone else just to see the responses. They were judgmental and hurtful. I even played along and agreed as if it wasn't my situation so that I would remain anonymous. I'm writing to the Red Room because I've listened to your shows and feel that you would not do the same and in hopes that I'll at least have some heartfelt responses to help me untangle my web of deceit. I don't know who wants to start with this one.
So, yeah,
I'm going to pass the mic to you first, dear. Oh, Lord. How y'all just put me on spot? I'm still in the process.
You thought I was having a hard time reading
always,
it.
No, you always have such a
That's
kind,
what I'm going up with.
You have such a kind and compassionate heart. I'm going to pass it to you first.
And y'all, so I was having a hard time reading it, y'all. I was reading like I'd have been out of school for the summer, and I came back to school this year.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry. This is the first time I read the letter, so of course, you know. Toya, go ahead. I'm just saying.
Okay. I think that all the parties involved should collectively get together and have a family meeting. Because what I'm not hearing is where the father of this child is. Technically, this young lady is still a minor if she's 17. And someone will need, if she decides to go through with the pregnancy, someone will need to be able to support her and the baby, as well as provide housing for them. Because as the uncle, although he loves his niece, that's not his responsibility. And being deceitful,
the aunt. She's the aunt.
Oh, she's the aunt. Okay, I thought it was, either way, she's not responsible for taking care of a 17-year-old and her baby either. She's not the mom. This girl has a mother and a father. So she needs to know that she made an adult decision to have sex, and now there are adult consequences. I personally do not agree with abortion. That's my own personal belief, but I do believe that people should have the choice as to whether or not situation. If she's not prepared to financially be able to support herself and the baby, she needs to consider her alternative. Whether that be, like I said, I'm pro-life, but I'm also pro-choice. So, but if it's adoption, if it's, you know, whatever. But she needs to evaluate that. As for the dad who kicked her out, I feel as though he's just being manipulative. And he's driving a wedge between him and his daughter just pretty much irreparable. Because if she has an abortion against her will, she will never, ever, ever forgive him for that because her choice was taken away. If she comes to that conclusion herself, it's one thing. But if it's forced upon her, that's going to create a traumatic experience that she may never recover from. As far as her mom, his wife, she needs to just evaluate her position in this too. If she is, if her husband's not listening to her, if she's not in agreement with letting her child just be kicked out of the house, they should have an equal say in what goes on. So she needs to, everybody just needs to communicate and come to a conclusion that best suits the child, best suits the unborn baby, best suits the aunt who's taking her in, and also one that the parent can live with without neglecting or forcing their daughter to do something that could traumatize her for the rest of her life.
Well, so this is why I love the Red Room, because I'm going to have to disagree with you here. And I'm going to say this from a place of, you know, God gives us so much grace and mercy. But from my experience as a young woman, like you said, Toya, where is the child's father throughout this entire letter, right? I'm going to speak from the experience that I have of raising a child, and my family is more involved than the child's father is. And I hope that the uncle is listening so that he can translate this to his niece and let her know that this is the God-honest truth, not from her uncle, but this is from a young woman who decided to have a child at a pivotal time in her life. Yes, the child did change her life, but let me tell you something. Speaking directly to this young woman at 17 years old with the support of her family, and getting ready to make a decision to have a child, you may need to reassess your decision. Because I can tell you one thing, that HBCU, is they might not give you a second chance. You have got to, and this is a message to all young women, especially this young woman in this letter that we're talking about, you have got to make a decision that's going to better your future. At 17 years old, you disappointing your family, your father. Number one, you have your family in turmoil with the other members involved, but yourself and the opportunities that you have in front of you, you really need to assess your life and your future. That right now, I want a baby, I'm in love with this man, and, you know, honey, please take a minute to slow down and just think and take the wisdom that you are getting from your elders within your family and make the right decision that's going to better your future. And know one thing for sure, two things for certain. The decision that you make to bring that child into this world or to not bring that child into this world all relies on you. You are the only person that is going to have to deal with that. And if you can mentally process saying 20 years from now that I chose that right now is not the time for me to bring a child into this world because I'm not stable enough, I have not gone to college, I have not created my $100,000 a month income, you heard what I said, $100,000 a month income. To not bring a child into this world until you are financially and mentally ready to raise a child, then you need to reassess your decision, young lady. And to the father, I understand your upsetness. I understand your rage. I understand you want to put her out because you are disappointed. But at the end of the day, you are her father. You are the only man in her life that really has any authority to make any decision for her. Do not turn your back on that young girl right now, because she will turn to a side
that is not going to support her the way that you are going to support her. So you need to open your arms. Let her know that you are there for her. Her uncle is there for her. Her family is there for her. Her aunt is there for her. But you do not need to close that door, because what's going to happen is you closing that door is going to cause her to make a decision to say, you know what, you said I can't, so I'm going to do it. So please, family members, advise her of the pros and the cons of having this child and not having this child. And that's all I have to say.
So I'm going to end the feedback on the Scarlet envelope with, first, I know that it is an aunt, and I read back and I see that it's possible that you may not have understood because I saw the signature and I didn't want to say the name because I wanted to keep it anonymous. But it is an aunt. So I want to say to the aunt, you have been given a responsibility not by choice, but by a family situation, to help in two different areas. One, to help your brother understand that family means you don't turn your back on your children just based on a mistake that they have made. Not necessarily one that, you know, her brother, you know, had the perfect family life. Him and his wife were married, and you know, they had children after they were married, because the way it sounds, they were married for 20 years and they had a daughter that's 17. Your brother may have had that life that he planned out for himself, but everybody's life does not work in this perfect plan. And having a daughter, the father is the role model that she looks up to see how a man will treat her. And if you, as the father, treats her in a way that banishes her, kicks her out the house, disconnects yourself from her because of something that she did that you may not agree with, then you're basically sending her down a path in her life where it's like, if I do something a man doesn't like, this is what's going to happen to me. And it'll either turn one or two ways. It can be that pattern where she accepts it because it's what has happened and she lived through it, or it's that one of, I don't ever want to make this mistake again because it's what happened with my father. I think it's like Toya said, the key to this whole situation is communication. And to the aunt that wrote this letter, I will suggest this. There's a thing called an intervention. Sometimes emotions run so high that people can't make rational decisions. And that's why you sometimes have to have an outside source, someone who is unbiased, to sit in the midst of the conversation and the discussions, seeing the emotions on both sides, and say, I hear you, but listen to each other. And come to some type of understanding where it's like Ashley said, seeing the pros and the cons. The pros. Are there pros in this situation? Are there pros in this 17-year-old girl having a baby and not being able to go to college right away? Are there pros in that? Will that build her strength? Will that make her a great person raising a child and saying, I'm able to do this on my own? I don't know, but you have to, in this family situation, listen to her. I just feel like the parents aren't listening to her. The mom, she's obviously in a place where she's not able to have a voice to speak, and that's a problem in itself. But I think the whole situation can be resolved with what I recommend as a family intervention. Where collectively you come together as a family and decide what is best for the 17-year-old and a family as a whole. I'm like Toya, I'm pro-life and I'm also pro-choice. So with that being said, there has to be a decision that can be made that combines both of those so that 20 years from now, nobody sits back and says, I wish I hadn't made the decision solely on what I believe without listening, understanding, feeling, and not judging. So to the person that wrote the letter, that's my suggestion. Have an intervention. Call in a pastor, a counselor, someone that can sit together with you all as a family and come up with a way so that you all a year from now, 10 years from now, say, I'm glad we did it this way. Because if not, it will end in a breakup that could be a heartbreak for more than just one person. So that letter just left me a little emotional when I read it. And tonight's show, what I think was just the perfect timing with the breakup topic that we have for tonight. And I do want to apologize if we can't get to the one, which is the intimate breakup. But we're going to make this a part two, like we've done for several shows, because I think we need to dive deep into that. The intimate breakup. The intimate relationship breakup. So I'm going to ask Ashley G to close us out for tonight. If we have no other callers that want to add to tonight's show, then Ashley G is just going to close us out tonight and just simply give us ways to stay connected. Oh, one more thing, Toya, real quick, because we got 30 seconds. Can you also share with us again tonight how we can make Manny's birthday a great birthday? We got cards for Manny that's on the way. So can you share real quick with how we can send Manny's birthday cards?
Okay, for those of you who may have missed the announcement last week, and I had a prior obligation, so I wasn't here, but I work with a special need kid. He's like my son. I'm known as his other mother. His name is Manny. He has cerebral palsy. Manny, his family, they've all been in the Red Room at some point. So many of our listeners know Manny. He's been to Red Room events when we've had him. Just a lovely person, and he is turning 21. And there were times when he wasn't, several times when he wasn't expected to live. So we are celebrating him. All that he asked for his birthday were cards. And amazing. If we could get cards from most states, even from overseas. So any listeners that we have here, just share and spread the word. Cards can be sent to Manny in care of Latoya Carter Q, P.O. Box 3576, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22402. And we'll also put this information on the on our social media. So if you didn't get it, from me just saying it there, just check our Instagram, check our Facebook page, and the address will be there as well.
Yes, and to everyone who's listening, be sure to follow us on Facebook at The Red Room Radio. We're the only ones that's going to pop up in your search bar, baby, The Red Room Radio. So be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date with all of the hot show topics. And definitely, we're going to be back here next Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
And we're going to be talking about the intimate breakups. Bring your worst and your best breakup stories. We're going to make this all about the intimate breakups. And if you have one that is going to top the charts, how about we just give... We're going to give the listeners an opportunity to share their breakup stories, and we're going to have people that vote and on the best and the worst breakup stories.
This is so interesting. I think we might have to do a giveaway for next week. Who is going to have the hottest breakup,
the hottest
romantic story? Now, I got some hot ones. I got some... immature breakups and some mature breakup stories. So you want to come with the A game, pull out the journal from 2002, and bring the A game. So we have to do a giveaway for next week's hottest breakup story. So if you would like to email, if you don't want to call in next week and you just want to share your breakup story, you can also submit your breakup story through our Facebook page at the Red Room Radio on Facebook. Please don't forget to submit your scarlet envelope because, whew, I know there are some people out there that got some hot, hot, hot things they want to discuss through that scarlet envelope.
Mm-hmm. You can email your scarlet envelopes to info@theredroomradio.com. Don't put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, don't post your scarlet envelope on the Facebook page. Mm-mm. Make sure you email it to info@theredroomradio.com.
Y'all are about a hot mess.
I know it's gonna be hot. That's why we couldn't finish the last one. There's no way we could do that with this show, because that's a show in itself. And I'm glad I just decided we can't go there tonight. We got to save that for another night. So I thank everyone for listening in. This is your host, Shelly L. Brooks. Thank you for joining us. I wish you an amazing, great, prosperous week. And I'm going to sign out. Sincerely, Shelly Love. Have a great week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.